ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31, Text Number 20. Apahata Sakala Ishana Umala Atmani Avirtam Edita Bhavana Bahuta Nijijana Basha Gatvam Atmana Ayan Na Sarati Chidravat Akshara Satam Hi. Apahata sakalesha namalatmani Apahata sakalesha namalatmani Aviratham medita bhavano pahutam Nijajana vasha gatvam atmanoyan Nasarati Chidravarakshara Satamhi. Apahata Sakalesha Namalatmani. Aviratam Edita Bhavano Pahuta. Nijajana Vasha Gatvam Atmanoyan. Nasarati Chidravarakshara Satamhi. Apahata Sakalesha Namalatmani. Aviratham Edita Bhavano Pahuta. Nijajana Vasha Gatvam Atmanoyan. Nasarati Jitravarakshara Satamhi.
Let's chant.
Any other takers? It's a rough verse. It took me 10 minutes to get it down. Apahata, vanquished. Sakala, all. Eshana, desires. Amala, spotless. Atmani, to the mind. Aviratam, constantly. Edita, increasing. Bhavana, with feeling. Upahuta, being called. Nijajana, of his devotees. Vasha, under the control. Gatvam, going. Atmana, his. Ayan, knowing. Na, never. Sarati, goes away. Chidravat, like the sky. Akshara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satam, of the devotees. He, certainly. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Being completely cleansed of all material desires, the devotees are freed from all mental contamination. Thus they can always think of the Lord constantly and address Him very feelingly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, knowing Himself to be controlled by His devotees, does not leave them for a second, just as the sky overhead never becomes invisible. Purport. It is clear from the previous verse that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardhan, is very quickly satisfied by the activities of His devotees. The pure devotee is always absorbed in the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated, Srinvatam Sva Katha Krishna, by always thinking of Krishna, the pure devotee's heart is freed from all kinds of desires. In the material world, the heart of the living entity is filled with material desires. When the living entity is cleansed, he does not think of anything material. As the mind is completely cleansed, one attains the perfectional stage of mystic yoga. For then the yogi always sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart. Dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa vasyanti yam yogina. As soon as the Lord is seated within the heart of the devotee cannot be contaminated by the material modes of nature. As long as one is under the control of the material modes, he desires so many things and makes so many plans for material sense enjoyment. But as soon as the Lord is perceived in the heart, all material desires, they vanish. When the mind is completely free from material desire, the devotee can think of the Lord constantly. In this way, he becomes completely dependent upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam budho. Kripaya tava pada pankajas titaduli sadrasham vichintaya. Which means, my dear Lord, I am your eternal servant, but somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of this material world. Kindly pick me up and fix me as a speck of dust at your lotus feet, from the Shikshastika, number 5. Similarly, Srila Narottam Das Thakur prays, Haha Prabhu Nanda Suta Vrishabhanu Suta Yuta Karuna Karaha Ebara Narottam Das Kaya Na Te Lila Rangapaya Toma Vine Ke Ache Amara. Which means, my dear Lord, you are now present with the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, Srimati Radharani. Now both of you, please be merciful upon me. Don't kick me away, because I have no shelter other than you. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes dependent on His devotee. The Lord is invincible, yet He is conquered by His pure devotee. He enjoys being dependent on His devotee, just as Krishna enjoyed being dependent on the mercy of Mother Yashoda. Thinking himself dependent on the devotee gives the Supreme Lord great enjoyment. Sometimes a king may engage a joker, and in the process of joking, the king is sometimes insulted. The king, however, enjoys these activities. Everyone worships the Supreme Lord with great reverence. Therefore, the Lord sometimes wants to enjoy the chastisement of His devotees. It's a little change in the usual program. In this way, the relationship eternally existing between the Lord and His devotees is fixed, just like the sky overhead. Omagyena timirandasya genanjina shilakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This verse particularly deals with two subject matters, which I will try to cover. But before doing this, I pray for the mercy and blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas in the hope that I can say something beneficial for all of us. One of the big problems that we have, especially in the Western world, but of course in the Eastern world also, but especially preponderantly in the Western world, is contamination. What is contamination? So we know from physical science that contamination is generally some type of disease-causing substance. For example, bacteria of a negative sort can be contamination. You go into an area where there is lots of bacteria, and if you don't have a strong resistance, then what happens is the bacteria takes hold in your body, and then your body manifests different types of disorders. It may come out as a rash. It may come out as a cold. It may come out as boils on your body. It may come out as problems in the lungs, problems in the ears. The important thing is that disease or a lack of ease in the body takes place. So the body becomes diseased, and that creates pain and suffering. Similarly, when we associate with contaminating ideas or thoughts or beliefs, they also cause disease of a much more serious nature. Because the diseases in the body can, through medical science and through good diet and through exercise, can quite often be overcome. But the disease of the contamination of the mind is more difficult to overcome. And that's because from time immemorial, we have been associating with contaminated ideas and beliefs and thoughts and activities. The result of that is that each time we associate with contamination, it goes into first the conscious mind, then it goes into the subconscious area of the mind. And it stays there. It's there. And as it continues to build and it continues to accumulate, what happens is that we manifest in our thoughts and our words and our activities such contaminated ideas. Now, what do I mean by contamination in the form of thought? Well, thoughts about lust, greed, envy, pride, illusion, any of these can cause contamination. For example, you walk on the street and you see different billboards. And on these billboards, you will see different aspects of contamination. And they are done so graphically attractive that it is sometimes very difficult to not look at them. They've been very, very carefully scripted psychologically to make us want to look at them. For example, a car manufacturer wants to sell a car. So very often he will put a beautiful woman next to the car. And naturally a man walking along the street sees this beautiful woman. And naturally he associates the pleasure of the beautiful woman seeing her with the car. And it creates a good feeling. And that's exactly what they want to do. They want to create a good feeling about that car. So by looking at the pretty girl, the same. And also they put handsome men so that women will look at those handsome men and will associate them with whether it's a car or whether it's a washing machine or whether it's whatever. But there are so many products being advertised, and beautiful people are put there. Sometimes they even use cute little dogs because they know that the man's best friend in the Western world is a dog, and they're cute. They're very lovable. So you associate this good feeling of cuteness and lovableness that you see with the dog or some little child with the product, and then, you feel good about the product. And you then, feeling good about the product, you want to buy the product, or at least you want to investigate the product. Because anything that makes us feel good encourages us or incites us or spurs us on to become curious. That's the first rule in good advertising, is to get someone curious, to get them attracted. Then after they get attracted, you try to get them involved in the ad. Especially on television, you see that. So you get involved in the cute little girl, the handsome man, or this or that. And that's the idea, to get those ideas into our conscious mind and from there into the subconscious, which then works on a subliminal level. And when we have to buy something, for example, it might be a car, it might be a blender, or it might be a vacuum cleaner, or any of these things, because those advertisers have gotten their little eggs into your subconscious, then the egg is brought up and it kind of pops, and you immediately think of that particular product which you thought was very cute and gave you a good feeling and so forth. So this is how contamination develops in the subconscious, and it continues to grow. As I said, lust and anger and greed and envy, pride, illusion. This also is very evident in the different movies and TV shows that are shown. And by associating with those particular kinds of feelings, the result is that we begin to express them. We feel them. We look for persons to associate with who have them, which then allows us to air or express those type of things. So this is what contamination is. Quite often, even for devotees, if you expose yourself often enough, if you associate consciously enough with these forms of contamination, it becomes very difficult to throw it off, because it has the power to arouse our past contaminations, incidents, events, circumstances that we've been involved in the past, and it serves to awaken, to bring up, to stimulate. Like you take a bottle of 7-Up and you shake it, and the bubbles, they all come up to the top, you know, and then if you open up the cap too quickly, it'll hit you in the face. So what will happen is that these bubbles of past contamination, they come up and they invade the consciousness and cause us to become attracted. A very good example in our scriptures is the story of Ajamil. Is it Ajamil? Yes. Ajamil was raised as a very righteous Brahmin. He was very upright. He was very moral. He followed all of the different principles that a Brahmin is supposed to. He woke up early in the morning. He recited his prayers. He read the scriptures. And he did all of the things that a Brahmin is supposed to do. And one day, his parents asked him to go into the woods to collect some fruits. And he went there, and in the course of going there, he saw in a distance in the woods a man and a woman embracing. And it happens to be, she happened to be a prostitute, and he happened to be a very low-minded person. He was singing, and they were embracing each other in a way which is not considered proper, certainly in public. So Ajamil, he looked at them, and then they thought nothing of it, but then he looked again. And then he looked again. Then he couldn't stop looking. Now, by looking, by contemplating the objects of the senses, one gets attached. He gets stuck on them. So he saw them and he watched them. And what it did is it awakened all those tendencies, all those remembrances from his past, either past life, that far, the past pleasure that he had experienced with possibly certain persons like that. And remembering those pleasures, he wanted to repeat them. He wanted to engage in them. Because the desire comes, and after the desire comes, the feelings come. And when the feelings come and they become overwhelming, the next thing is that one wants to pursue the object that will enable him to experience that particular kind of pleasure. And it's very subtle. You hardly know that it's going on, but it is going on. So it brings up, in other words, you see something in front of you, and it awakens an association from the past, and the desire to repeat the pleasure of the past arises, and then one pursues it. The unfortunate fact about this is that we forget the pain that was associated with that pleasure. This is Maya. Maya has a very one. Maya means illusion, that which is not. So you think that if you have this pleasure, that's all it's going to be. Lots and lots of just good times. But we find out that as a result of attachment, we begin, and that's exactly what happened to Ajamila. He became driven, and he had to possess that prostitute. And he brought her into his home. And then as a result of being driven and you might say even habituated and addicted to her, he then had to fulfill her desires, no matter what way he would have to do it. After his parents died, they left him some inheritance, and he used that all up, giving her bangles and saris and nose rings and hairdos and whatever she wanted, he had to give her in order for him to re-experience that pleasure. Little knowing that he was in great, great anxiety all the time. Because if she left him, where would he be? He'd be without that pleasure that had become his all in all. So she controlled him completely. And he would steal for it. He would mug someone for the money. He would do anything he could have to do in order to get what she wanted. So this is not peace of mind. This is not a happy state of being. And by no means. And so this is what happens. We forget the negative. We forget the downside. We remember the upper side or the plus side and think that is the all in all. The value of these books that Srila Prabhupada has given us is to remind us that there is a downside to every pleasure. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. Such pleasures of the senses have a beginning and an end. And the wise person does not delight in them. So what does a wise person delight in? The nature of the soul is to want pleasure. And that's because the very nature of the soul is pleasure. Sat Chit Ananda. Eternality, knowledge, and bliss. So the nature of the soul is to be blissful, but unfortunately, the soul has identified itself with its material body. And identifying itself with the material body, it then, instead of looking within to get the pleasure that it has lost, but it identifies itself with the body and then tries to regain that lost bliss or lost pleasure, lost happiness by stimulating any one of the five senses, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the skin, the mind, the intelligence. So when there is some stimulation, there is happiness. As soon as the stimulation stops or we become bored with the stimulation, the next thing is that The next thing is that we are then looking again for some stimulation. And then when we have that stimulation and we become bored with it, we then look again for some other stimulation. It's a vicious cycle of pleasure, pain, pleasure, pain. For example, a person likes a particular food, eats the food, enjoys it. 2 hours later, eats the food again. Another 2 hours later, eats it again. The next day, he's sick. His nose is running. His ears are running. He's perspiring. He's sick. We think the enjoyment is where it's at, and that will be the end of it. So, as mentioned before, external pleasure brings us only temporary relief. It's the relief from the desire to want to enjoy that particular pleasure. So this is the pathetic situation. So the sage looks for inner pleasure. Actually doesn't look for it. He simply does what automatically will give him or her pleasure. What is automatic that will give him or her pleasure? Krishna tells us, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances, worship me. Thus completely absorbed in me, you will come to me. Coming to Krishna means associating with Krishna. As I said, when we associate with matter or contamination, we get the fruit, and the fruit is bitter. When we associate with Krishna and his wonderful devotees, we get a different kind of fruit. We get a sweet fruit instead of a bitter fruit. So Krishna says to us, that transcendental bliss will come to us if we simply associate with him by chanting his holy names such as Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Ram Rama, Hare Hare. Rupa Goswami said there is so much nectar in the two syllables, Krishna, that when I chant the name Krishna, it dances on my tongue and I want many, many mouths. And when it enters the holes of my ears, I want millions and millions of ears. And when it enters the, when it dances in the core of my heart, it conquers the activities of my mind and my senses become inert. The senses don't work because the mind is so completely absorbed in, so totally filled with, so completely enraptured by this picture of the Supreme Lord in the heart, which Srila Prabhupada talks about in this verse. How to see the Supreme Lord in the heart? Well, a mother, for example, who has a little child, if she goes to the market and the child is at home with the babysitter, the child is 2 or 3 or 4 years old, the mother has her mind always on the child because she loves the child. When you love someone or you love something, your mind always goes to it. She's thinking, is the child all right? You know, children, they fall. Did the child, did she fall? Did she hurt herself? Is she developing a cold? Is she watching the right kind of TV? Is she right, you know, Snoopy Dooby Doo and all those kind of things? Is she doing all the things that I want her to do? Is she still healthy? So a mother will naturally think about, dwell on, stay absorbed in, her child because she loves her child. It's a part of her. It's connected with her own body. Similarly, as we develop more and more love for Krishna, Krishna takes more and more interest in us. Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. So to the degree that we surrender, and what is surrender? To surrender to Krishna means to give up one's body, one's mind, one's thoughts, one's feelings, one's intelligence in the loving service of Krishna. In other words, trying to please him in whatever way Krishna has blessed us with talents to do so. We accept whatever is favorable for discharging devotional service. We reject whatever is unfavorable, which is going to create contamination. We believe firmly that the Lord will always protect his devotee. We feel dependent upon his mercy. We try to not have any other interest but Krishna's interest. That is what surrender is. Sometimes that's not immediately possible. But by steadfast, dedicated effort, by trying hard and begging Krishna for his mercy, he gradually opens up a path for us and enables us to spend more and more time thinking of him, dwelling upon him, considering him. The more we saturate the conscious mind and the subconscious mind with thoughts about Krishna, his instructions, and his pastimes, the more the mind, the intelligence, and the body, because the body is affected by the mind, become purified. And this is the process of chanting Hare Krishna. When we chant the Lord's names, we become purified because the Lord is non-different from his name. By chanting Krishna, by chanting Rama, we associate with the Supreme Lord, and that association brings us, by sincere chanting, sincere absorption, it brings us transcendental bliss. This is the nature of chanting. It purifies the heart, because we are associating with the supremely pure person. And this is actually all that is really necessary. We have to realize that all of these other things, which I mentioned, in the external, in the material world, are contaminating, and they create problems, pressures, they create disorders, troubles, pains, miseries, unnecessary. This does not mean that when one becomes a devotee, that Krishna will not give us pains or sufferings or difficulties, but they serve a different purpose. As soon as the devotee actually tries sincerely or genuinely to surrender to the Lord especially takes interest, although the Lord is equal to all his children, but he takes special interest in his devotee. Just like a mother who may have several children and loves them equally, the child who is most dependent upon her, she shows more concern and more interest. And that is actually the process. The pure devotee, Krishna says, is always within the core of my heart. And I am always within the heart of the pure devotee. The devotee does not know anything else but me. And I do not know anything else but him. Krishna says, one can know me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So Krishna tells us what we have to do. We are simply to perform devotional service. But what kind of devotional service? What is the quality of that devotional service? The quality of devotional service, it should be done with appreciation, that it is a blessing, not something simply to do, to occupy our time. It is a blessing because it is the means by which we can become free of the cycle of birth, death, and rebirth, and all the pains and sufferings and stresses and strains and tragedies that go with all that. So Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully come to us and given us the means, and we have to take it very seriously, like a miser takes his jewels very seriously. He puts them in a vault, and he may go there and look at them, touch them, and hold them. He cherishes them, because they're so... wealth is the all-in-all for such a person. Similarly, devotional service is to be cherished. It's to be appreciated. It's never to be taken for granted. It can be taken away from us, and so many persons have had it and have lost it. And they've lost it because they they took it cheaply. They thought of it as not very important. You know, after all, I'm not really getting paid to do this type of work. So, due to wrong conditioning, we think that whatever we get paid for, that's useful, that's valuable, that's beneficial. But if you don't get paid for it, well then, you know, who's respecting you? Who's honoring you? Who's glorifying you? No. When Bill Gates comes on TV, everybody watches because he has billions and billions of dollars. But if somebody who's just making $50,000 or $30,000 or $10,000, $20,000 a year comes on, he's unknown, nobody takes much interest. But Krishna, whatever, doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter how beautiful your clothing is, doesn't matter what a beautiful place you live in. If you, we have sincere, devotional love for Krishna, if we try to serve Him and please Him, not just serve, but to please Him and to be conscious of His presence through the process of devotional activities. Krishna says, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time perform your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will come to me without a doubt. Come to Krishna means to to have pastimes with Krishna. Now, the enjoyment that we get from Krishna is not something we seek. It comes as a byproduct. We seek Krishna's pleasure. We seek to please Him. We offer our appreciation and prayers to Him. We seek Him by dressing Him. We seek Him by cooking food for Him and offering it to Him. We seek Him by singing beautiful songs to Him. We seek Him by uttering prayers by great devotees to Him. All of these please Krishna. And in pleasing Him, He reciprocates with His devotee in the heart. And the devotee's heart becomes filled with ever-increasing love for Krishna. And that's what the goal is. That our love should be ever-increasing, ever-improving, ever getting stronger. Sorry. And when it does get stronger, we feel more secure, we feel more peaceful, we feel more strong, we feel more free. Because we're not driven, we're not captured, we're not badgered by the material energy. Rather, the spiritual energy, the eternal energy floods through us. It flows through us. It influences our thoughts, our feelings. We want to do nice things. We want to offer things. We want to be a better instrument for Krishna. It gives us pleasure to not think about ourselves, but to think about giving others Krishna consciousness. When we do this, Krishna is pleased, Srila Prabhupada is pleased, and we, of course, will be pleased. Krishna is pleased in different ways. That's another part. I seem to have been going over time, so I'm not going to get into the second part I had planned to talk about. I'll simply sum this up by saying that contamination is all around us. But we do have, just as if you walk into a fire, you'll get burned. But if you have an asbestos suit on, you won't get burned because asbestos repels fire. Similarly, if we are armed with the Maha Mantra, if we are armed with loving Krishna consciousness, if our heart and feeling is praying and crying out to Krishna for His protection, of course He gives the protection to devotees who ask for it, who understand they're frail and fragile and can be destroyed at any moment. So to such a devotee, the Lord comes very quickly. So if we pray and we beg and we petition the Lord, please, don't let me fall down. I'm so weak. Even Srila Prabhupada was asked, how come you don't fall down? Srila Prabhupada said, the reason I don't fall down because I'm always depending upon Krishna. I know that I can fall down, and that's why I never will fall down. Because I know that the living entity has his weakness. He's tiny. He can be covered. Because I depend upon Krishna, and in that dependence we associate with Krishna, we get the mercy of Krishna, and we are protected like the person with the insulated, the insulation of the suit which prevents him from being burned. So we can rise above all the contamination of material nature if we lovingly, feelingly, devotedly, humbly beg for this mercy of the Lord wherever we are, whatever we're doing. We should not just become so absorbed and so absorbed in the activity itself that we totally forget Krishna or put Him so far in the background that we can't even remember Krishna. He should be there in the foreground also. We may have to alternate thinking of Him and thinking of what we have to do. But whenever we think of Krishna, we will do it better. Because Krishna is supreme, He's pure, He's perfect. And if we are associating with perfection, we will become more and more perfect. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any question? Yes, please.
When you were talking about being contaminated,
yeah,
by exterior sources, how do when we talk about the concept of yukta vairagya, about engaging everything in Krishna service, yeah, and it's also often said that you can get gold from a filthy place.
What?
You can get gold from a filthy place.
Yes.
I've heard devotees say that before. So
you
how do we know?
But I can hear it. Yeah.
How do we know in our devotional service, when we're trying to engage something in Krishna service, by not being contaminated by using that source? Like, for example, someone may want to manage something properly, so he may read some books on how to manage something properly, but how do we not become contaminated by exterior sources?
In other words, when we are dealing with material energy...
Yeah, specifically dealing with yukta vairagya, using everything in Krishna's service.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, dealing with money or, you know, dealing with non-devotees, you know, there's always that danger, you know, because that's always a tricky one. Sometimes, you know, devotees will say, well, I'm going to make a lot of money for Krishna, right? And that source of making that money, they become contaminated and they just end up using it for themselves. But in the name of making money, or in his disguise of sense gratification, they may say, well, I'll just use everything in Krishna's service. So it's a fine line sometimes.
Yeah. First of all, the very desire to want to make money for Krishna is not a positive desire. That in itself is wrong. The idea that I'm going to make money for Krishna. You don't make money for Krishna. Krishna owns it all. It all belongs to Him. You can't do anything for Him. He does it for us. That's the first thing. So that is an illusion, that I'm going to make money for Krishna. I've heard that so many times, and so many have fallen by the wayside of devotional service. So I just wanted to correct that point. But I understand your point. Sometimes you're involved in computer technology, and you're dealing with all of these different things. What I generally tell when I go up to the Northwest, when I preach in Portland or in Seattle, Sacramento, because there's a lot of computer engineers there, and they ask this very question. I said, first of all, on your computer, you must have a picture of Radha Krishna right on the top of the computer. So every time you look up to think of something, you'll see them. So we have to make some effort. Keep a picture of Krishna in your wallet. Put Krishna's name or his initial by your watch. We need to use different means by which we can remember Krishna. And as soon as the name Krishna comes into our mind, then a whole gamut of different ideas, philosophical ideas, come in. And we will get the protection. If we don't, if we think I'm just protected, and we don't want to have to make effort, then what will happen is we can get contaminated. So we need to make the special effort to decondition our mind from merely staying with matter. We have to keep remembering that we're dealing with matter for no other purpose than to please Krishna. If that idea remains prominent in our consciousness, then you will not be contaminated with it. It's like a swimmer. Swimmer, he can swim over the waves and enjoy the swim. But a person who can't swim, when the wave hits him, he just goes under and he drowns. So you drown if you don't know how to swim. And swimming means making a deliberate, a steadfast, a dedicated effort to remember Krishna. As Viraj Maharaj was saying before a few days ago, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. These two principles are most important. And all the instructions and prohibitions in the scriptures are the servants of those two principles that I just mentioned. Okay? So you must always try to remember Krishna. Yes, was there some other question? Okay, then we'll call it quits for today. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki.